Friends, today we stand at the beginning of the Advent season. The word Advent means coming of Christ, and it refers to the coronation of a king. I see Advent as a spiritual journey that helps us to focus on the greatest gift of all, so that we can worship the Word made flesh with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Christmas time is so special because of the birth of Jesus. But it is also a time when we focus our thoughts on what the world should be. We talk about peace on earth, goodwill to all men. We talk about generosity and giving rather than selfishness and receiving. We think about children snuggled safely in their beds while parents sit around the fire sipping eggnog. And we dream of a world the way it ought to be. We dream of a perfect world. Makes me think of a song that Helen will tell you is my favorite, sung by Louis Armstrong. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. We see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" What they're really saying is, "I love you." Now, isn't that a perfect world? I read an article about what another fellow thought of as being a perfect world. He said, "In a perfect world, you would feel as good at 60 as you did at 17. And you would be as smart at 60 as you thought you were at 17. In a perfect world, professional basketball, baseball, football, hockey players will begin to complain because school teachers are signing multi-million dollar contracts. That's a perfect world. In a perfect world, he said, potato chips would have calories, but if eaten with dip, the calories will be neutralized. He said, in a perfect world, mail will always be early, the check will be in the mail, and it will be far more than it was expected to be. In a perfect world, every once in a while, some teenager who uses a beat-up old truck is scolded for not using his father's Mercedes-Benz. Okay, one more then. In a perfect world, there is ice cream that is good for the heart. Apple pies that you eat in order to prevent cancer. Cheesecake that helps take off pounds. And we can add to that list, isn't that so? The things we will consider to be a perfect world. But now, friends, listen. Now that we're thinking about perfect things, I want us to look at our text for today. And that's found in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In these two short verses, friends, I see three perfect things. I see perfect timing. In the fullness of time, I see the perfect gift. God sent his only begotten Son. I see the perfect purpose to redeem us. Paul says, when the fullness of time had come. Do you know that the Greeks, in the Greek language, there are two words for time. Kairos, which means opportune time. You seize the opportunity that comes your way, maybe quite by accident. And then there's chronos, from which we get our English word chronology. And chronology means the orderly progression of events. When everything flows in the proper sequence and is exactly right. The word used in our text this morning, friends, is chronos, indicating that God didn't decide on the spur of the moment to take advantage of the opportune time. That's not what it means. The word there says, rather, God orchestrated the sequence of events in a chronological order. Chronos. And when the time was just right, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. If Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, friends, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In Acts chapter 17 verse 26, it says, from one man, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live. Do you see this, friends? Do you see that this scripture is telling us that God is not moving on the spur of the moment? I must make use of this opportune time. No, it is all a progression of events in the proper sequence, friends. Why? Because he has made everything beautiful in its time. Amen?
Amen.
Firstly, let's look at God's perfect timing. Our text says, when the fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come. Do you know that there are 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years. There are no prophets during this time. No scriptures being written. Heaven seemed to be silent. But God was preparing the earth for the coming of his son Jesus. God was preparing the earth so that when Jesus came, the gospel could be spread throughout the whole world. God spent the silent 400 years preparing history for the birth of Jesus. And how did he do that? How did he prepare the world? Well, firstly, God used the Greeks. God used the Greeks? You bet. Do you know Alexander the Great conquered the Persian Empire, thus ruling over the Jews in 334 BC? God said, I want a universal language. So that when Jesus is born, everyone can hear about my son's birth. When the Greeks conquered the world, the Greek language became a universal language. Everybody knew a little bit of Greek. They read and wrote Greek. All legal documents were in Greek. Pilate wrote an inscription over the cross of Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Do you know that it was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin? Everybody knew a little bit of Greek. It's like English today. You can go to Timbuktu in Mali, in Western Africa, which is French speaking. And you'll find somebody who knows English. Do you know that South Africa has 11 official languages, but everybody speaks English? The disciples could take the message of Jesus to the whole world. Why? Because there was a universal language. Was it a coincidence? No. He made everything beautiful in its time. Secondly, God used the Romans. In 63 BC, the Romans conquered the Greeks. God said, I want a universal peace so that the news of my son Jesus can be spread throughout the known world. I want peace so that my word can go forth that Jesus is born. And when the Romans took power, there followed a period in history known as Pax Romana. Pax Romana. A period of peace and stability. There was only one government over the entire known world. There was no need for passports. There was no fear of going into enemy territory. There was no fear of wars to avoid. The disciples were thus free to travel the whole known world with the gospel because there was only one government. In the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus when he had it all planned out. And then God said, I want a good road system so that people can travel easily to spread the gospel. Do you know that who were the best road builders in the world? The Romans. They even had a saying, all roads lead to Rome. Do you know there were roads everywhere made by the Romans? So the disciples could chop their way through the jungles and so on. They could walk on a road. Then God said, I want the world to know there is only one God. So he used the Jews. For 400 years, between Malachi and Matthew, the Jews spread the idea that there was only one God. Do you know at the time Jesus was born, the world was a pagan world. The Greeks had many gods and goddesses, and the Romans had many gods and goddesses. And you know what, friends? The Romans even brought to the world the idea of worshiping a man. Caesar said, hey, you should worship me as a god. And so in the midst of thousands of petty gods, for 400 years, God was preparing the world through the Jews that there was only one God, Jehovah. The Jews proclaimed to the world that the Messiah would come to save the world from their sins. Friends, God had spent 400 years in the seemingly silence, planning the birth of his son Jesus. That's why when Jesus was born, the blueprint had already been drawn. There was a universal language, a universal peace, a universal road system, and a concept of one God, the Messiah. The world was ready for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Takes us to the second point. The perfect gift. Then God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus was ready to come to earth. Do you know what it's like to move from place to place? Some of you have. I've moved 8 times since I got married. 8 times. It's packing, man. Leaving your home, getting your new home ready, turning on the electricity, connecting your phone and going to the post office for a mailbox. And for us, it also included changes like going to a new country, a new culture, a new weather system, new schools, new job, new friends. Do you see that, friends? It was quite an ordeal, trust me, a real big change. And here we have Jesus. He was moving. Think of the change that Jesus had to make from heaven to earth. Think of the change that Jesus had to make from heaven to earth. He left the royal throne in heaven to a feeding trough, to a manger in a lowly stable. He left the fellowship of God the Father to live among crime and disease and sin. He left the royal palaces of heaven to travel the dusty roads with no place to call his home. Do you know he said in Matthew 8 verse 20, he said, Jesus said, you know what, foxes, man. Foxes have holes. Birds have the air. Birds of the air have nest. But the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. He left the work of creation to die on a tree he created. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, to a lowly hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. I borrow those words from a song. He left it all, friends, to become Emmanuel, God with us. The time had come, all was fulfilled, and Jesus was making his move from heaven to earth. After 400 years of silence, God was to speak once again, but this time he would speak through his Son. He would send his Son, not the prophet, to talk to the world of his love. And so we come to the perfect purpose. I've been talking about purpose for the whole month of November. We see the perfect purpose to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. Another version says that they might receive full rights as sons. John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Matthew 1, 21, and we found Flora May reading this. The angel said to Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He would redeem his people. And friends, Jesus was ready. God was ready. The world was ready. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want to change gears here. And I want you to consider, friends, what if Jesus hadn't come 2,000 years ago? What if there had never been a first Christmas? What if Jesus had never been born? What if God was still waiting to send his only begotten Son to earth? What if the fullness of time had not come? Well, Christmas Day, 25th of December, the day we set aside to celebrate the birth of God's only begotten Son, would be an ordinary day. It would be like a day like all other days. It will come and go. Our children would be in school, and there will be no need for a winter vacation. We would be without traditions. There would be no family gatherings. There will be no exchanging gifts. There will be no carols to sing. There will be no Christmas decorations. There will be no New Testament. There will be no church. There will be no Christmas meal. And we would be without the supreme example of gift giving. Christmas story is full of giving. Mary gave herself to be used by God. The wise men bringing gifts to Jesus, the baby. And of course, there was the Father giving the Son. Ravi Zacharias, an apologist who has passed away now, who was with the Lord, he said, "A son was not born." He said, "A son was not born. He existed throughout eternity. A child was born, but a son was given." Amen. Do you see that, friends? Jesus always was. A child was born, but God gave his only begotten Son. If Jesus did not come to the earth, there would be no Thanksgiving. It was started by Christians. There will be no Mother's Day or Father's Day. It started in the Christian church. There will be no hope, because there would be no Christmas. You know what it would mean? There will be no Palm Sunday. There will be no Good Friday. And most importantly, there will be no Resurrection Sunday if Jesus was not born. We would be under the Old Testament law of Moses. If we wanted to worship God, us Gentiles, we'd have to convert to Judaism. We would have to offer animal sacrifices. We would have to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year for Passover, for Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We would have to tithe 30%. I said, "What? Man?" Yes. 10% of our crops and herds to God, 10% tithe to the Levites, and 10% to the temple in Jerusalem. Without Jesus, friends, we wouldn't have fellowship with God the Father. In the Old Testament times, there was no concept of a heavenly Father. No concept of a heavenly Father. It was Jesus who gave the disciples the concept of a personal relationship with God the Father. When the disciples heard him pray to God as a Father, you know what they said to him? "Teach us how to pray like that." And what did he say? Okay, you ready? "Our Father." See that? "Our Father." He didn't say, "Okay, you know what, guys? When you pray, you must say, 'The Father.'" No, no, no. "Our Father." In "Our Father," the Old Testament times, they looked at God as a stern judge. People were always scared. Without Jesus, friends, we wouldn't have the concept of heaven as our eternal home. Do you know, in the Old Testament times, the Jews looked forward to the promised kingdom, yeah, on earth. The Jews looked really forward to the promised kingdom, yeah, on earth, not the eternal life in heaven. Heaven, as we think about it, was a new concept to the disciples. Jesus said that he was going to heaven to prepare a place for us. And when he taught them how to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Friends, listen. I hope you understand today. Because sometimes, you know, Christmas is same old, like, hey, whatever. Let's get a renewed vision of what it's all about, friends. So I hope you understand today that we need Christmas. We need the hope that it offers. We need that the truth that it conveys. We need Emmanuel. We need God with us. We need Jesus. We need the Lord. We need a Savior. Amen?
Amen.
If there had not been the first Christmas, we would have been of all people most miserable. But there was the first Christmas. Amen. There was the first Christmas. Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago. This Christmas, let's remember God's perfect timing when the fullness of time had come. This Christmas, let's remember God's perfect gift. God sent His Son. This Christmas, let's remember God's perfect purpose to redeem us. Yes, friends, God wanted to save us. You remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He came to redeem us. The great story of Jesus, of Christmas, tells us that God really wants all people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants us all to be in right relationship with Him. So let us rejoice in the truth this Christmas. And we're going to say this verse together. We're going to say Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Let's look on the screen there and say it together, friends. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus did come, friends, to bring us salvation and to redeem us. It's that salvation that Jesus brought us that we celebrate this Advent season. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.